Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4CBS. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, remember, Rocket can. Taking your calls again, 855-212-4227. Coming up in just about 40 minutes from now, Bill Bender will join us, Sporting News, National College Football writer. We will talk about Tom Herman. Listen, man, you go to a place like Texas, there's certain places where you can't lose. And you can't lose. I should say there's certain places where you can't. No, you can't lose one. You can't lose two. You sure as hell can't lose three. And you can't do it for a few years. There's just certain places where it's unacceptable. And Texas is one of them. Texas would be one of them if it weren't for Mack Brown, if it weren't for Vince Young. Texas should be one of them. It's one of the largest states in the country with the biggest, one of the biggest fan bases of high school football in the country. It has one of the biggest college fan bases in the country for the University of Texas. It's just inexplainable. It's inexcusable. You can't lose there. You lose, they'll find somebody else who will win. And they'll continue to find somebody else who will win because there's enough of big business alums who will continue to try to find other ones who will help them win until they actually find one. Maybe a little humility, which college coaches, coaches in general, are all egotistical maniacs. But maybe a little bit of humility might do Tom Herman a little bit of good. Maybe a little less Mensa, little more hard work. You still got to grind now. It's Texas is still supposed to be the big school in the state. But you have to still earn the player. It isn't a kid from Lake Travis who's going to just, this is what I do. I go to Texas. If Texas will have me, this is where I go. It's not like that anymore, man. That's not the way it is. You want big-time five-star recruits? You're going to have to earn them. They can go anywhere within a plane ride. They have everybody who will facilitate that for them. They want the very best opportunity. They want to be with the best. That's why Ryan Day went into your state and took two players over this last week. That's why Florida goes in. That's why Alabama goes into your state. That's why Oregon has gone in. That's why Oklahoma has gone in and taken away your talent, guys who should play for Texas. Texas, Iowa State, and I'll explain here in a moment my affinity for Iowa State. Texas, Iowa State, no offense to the fine folks in Ames, should never be a game. It should never be a game. You could resurrect Paul Bear Bryant and have him coach Iowa State. It shouldn't be a game. Even Oklahoma has a little bit of an excuse. Not much. But it has a little bit of an excuse. Norman is a beautiful campus. It's a beautiful city. There's some very nice alums that are there. It's got a rich tradition. But when you're bringing in 15, 16, 17-year-old recruits, tradition, old-style stuff doesn't matter as much. Lincoln Riley actually still grinds. Lincoln Riley loses a couple of games here and there. But he's got a pedigree. I trust Lincoln Riley to have humility, to work hard, to go and earn. If I have a kid who's supposed to play college football at a high level, I respect Lincoln Riley enough to respect me to know that he will come in and actually try to earn that respect. I can't say that for Tom Herman right now. I can't do it. It's not a situation. Mack Brown's doing a great job with North Carolina. Yeah, I've likened this a lot to Michigan where you don't know what you got until it's gone, and they kind of ran Lloyd Carr out of there and tried to make him some weird emeritus type of figure because they didn't want to get nasty about it because he's a Michigan man and all that other stuff. I can't even liken it to that. Mack Brown's doing a good job. You very well could have moved on from Mack Brown. You're big-time college. You're supposed to be in the same conversation as Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. You're supposed to be in that conversation. You're Texas. For crying out loud, you're Texas. You were your own country at one point. You're Texas. It's unexplainable, and it's inexcusable. And I could try to find explanations for it other than probably hubris getting the very best of him. I would hope he's been humbled by now. We'll talk to Bill Bender coming up here in less than 40 minutes. It's a massive disappointment. James, let me bring you in real quick. James, hello.
Ken, how we doing?
I'm doing well, baby. I got to give James credit. I got to give Tom DeCelestino credit as well because you guys are both texting me because right now where the Ravens are at. Now, again, let me get this all right. By the way, Ryan Day has tested positive again for coronavirus. He will not coach against Illinois. It will be Larry Johnson who's the acting head coach as of right now. So Larry Johnson, father of Larry Johnson, really great recruiter, good football coach. He'll be the acting head coach at for Ohio State as they take on Illinois from what I know. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I got to bring in these guys in here for a second. James, let me bring in it because you guys were doing the best you could. During the end of that game, I'm getting texts like crazy because the head coach at Iowa State is from my hometown. His brother and I are very close. I've known him for a while, and my phone is buzzing up and down, and I'm not going to watch the end of that game because I have to remain focused on the task at hand. We got a lot of Ravens news. We got a lot of news about the Steelers. We got COVID news that we have to deal with all this stuff, where they're going to put the Ravens-Steelers game, where they're going to turn around and put the Cowboys game that's supposed to be that Thursday. It's going to end up being on that Monday. There's a lot of moving parts, and James, I'm dealing with my idiot friends texting me going, oh, my gosh, they could possibly make this thing work. I go, could you stop texting me during a show? I got my producer trying to text me. I got my other producer trying to text me. I got to take calls over here. We're talking about something else. We'll get to that here in a moment because people don't give a damn about Iowa State right now. They want to talk about how Texas got to lose this thing. Then we'll give credit to Iowa State. But really, we have to start talking about the Ravens thing. James, you handled it with aplomb. Congratulations.
Appreciate it, kid. I mean, that was good. A pretty wild game at the end there, though. So
It was wild. And dealing with the distractions was not my strong suit in that situation, just because I'm usually it's on a Saturday, and I have to deal with it on a Saturday, and I wasn't ready to handle it here on a Friday afternoon. America, I apologize. By the way, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Not bad. How about yourself?
It's not – everybody was down because they had to – everybody had to sit and be home and be safe. This is nothing new for me. I've told this story a couple of times. When my grandmother died, when I was 7, you ready for this, James? It's kind of sad. We just decided to have Thanksgiving at home. And so it was just me. I'm an only child. It was me, my mother, and my father. And what sucked about it is I would see these commercials with people eating Thanksgiving dinner. And I remember very slightly, I have a very good memory for a lot of stuff in my personal history. I remember very slightly, not vividly, that we ate earlier. My dad used to make us wait. You ready for this? 6 o'clock to eat Thanksgiving dinner.
It's late. That's
That's too late to be eating Thanksgiving dinner. Like we, because it was just us five, because I got 3 kids and they don't really eat. Jonah eats turkey, but he's 1. He doesn't know any better. I'm sure it'll fall out of favor when he gets a little older, just like the other 2 does. We ate at like 4 yesterday, and even then I'm kind of like tapping my watch going, hey, you know what, let's get going here.
Yeah, I think like 4:30 is kind of like the range that I would like to eat in on Thanksgiving every year.
I'd like to start at around 2. I think 2 o'clock.
That's like kind of like a Thanksgiving lunch, though.
That's fine, because I can eat it all day.
That's fair.
But eating at 6 o'clock, I remember it was always dark. And it's just like, really? Everybody else is eating, and I'm going, man, we're just starting now. I didn't even know, because my dad's not even a drinker. My mom, she would have a couple of Busch lattes here and there. You know, my dear mom. I didn't even know it was a drinking holiday until I got older, because my parents did not take Thanksgiving very seriously at all. 1 year they decided that they were going to go down to Pinellas Park, go stay at the house down in Pinellas Park. I ended up going to a girlfriend's for Thanksgiving at the time. We ended up eating ravioli It's never been taken. One time they sprung it on me. They took me to a hometown buffet, and that was an entirely different experience because I was sitting there, and there's this guy wearing a velvet sweatsuit, and it was like a weird green. Like, remember George Costanza when he's ensconced in velvet?
Right.
It's like that, except it's green, and he's got this handkerchief. I'm going to tell this again tomorrow. I guarantee you. He's got this handkerchief bib, and it's got a safety pin, and it's right around his neck. And this guy's the size of a house. And I'm a large person, James. I think you've seen me. I'm quite large, all right? At the time, I was in much better shape, but I'm quite large. And so I'm sitting there. The place is packed. I could not believe how packed this place was. And I hated being there. I hated the whole ordeal. I couldn't believe we went to Hometown Buffet. Nothing against Hometown Buffet. They make a fine dinner, I'm sure. But I couldn't believe we were going there for Thanksgiving. I couldn't believe my parents half-assed it. They decided to half-ass it. And we go there. We're sitting down, and my dad's eating, my mom's eating, and me, I am unappetized by the entire meal because we're sitting right next to this family, and there is this guy, and he's wearing Air Monarchs, like offshoot Air Monarchs, a green velvet sweatsuit with a handmade, hand-knitted handkerchief safety pinned to his like, right around his collar. And they're commenting on the turkey, and they're talking about the food, and he's talking about it looking so much. He looks like a giant baby. And I'm just sitting there going, what am I doing with my life? I'm going to end up like this guy here.
I mean, he's an only child. He's trying to keep his outfit fresh.
He was an only child, James, and I'm looking at him, and I could not stop staring at these people, and they were right next to me. Like, if they were staring at me, like, I would have got up and said, what's your problem? Do you have a problem? Do we need to settle this out in the parking lot? I'm just staring at him the whole time. And he's, oh, this turkey is so moist, mother. The turkey is so, oh, my goodness, great. How do they do it? This turkey is so moist. He kept commenting on how moist the turkey was, and I couldn't eat. And I'm just sitting there staring at him going, what has life become? And if I continue down this path, it's going to be me, my mother, my father, and I might as well get myself fitted for a velvet sweatsuit, slap on another 100 pounds, and away we go to Hometown Buffet.
But not only is he looking disturbing to people around him, he's also saying words like moist that are one of the worst words in the English language.
I don't have a problem with the word moist. I know a lot of people have a problem with the word moist, and I'm sorry. I don't have a problem with it. But he just kept commenting on it. And I'm going, this is the highlight of this man's life right here. This is the highlight of his year. He's going to go home, and they're going to watch Lawrence Welk on PBS when this is over. And for all I know, he probably if they could have went to a buffet this year, they probably would have went to a buffet this year. And he may be very well at home. Or you know what? For all I know, he probably still lives in that house, and his parents probably died but are still in that house somewhere in that house right now down in Canton, Ohio. I can only imagine right now, James.
So
awful.
Were you every year? Was it a half-assed Thanksgiving dinner, or
there was great Thanksgiving dinners, but it was always just with us three. And then it just got to this weird place. My parents stopped caring about the Thanksgiving dinner. It's basically, Kenny, you're on your own. Great. So usually we'd have Thanksgiving here, and we'd have my brother-in-law and my, you know, all the whole family, and this year it was just us. And people go, man, this is so sad. I go, I know it's sad for you guys. This is par for the course for my life. This is me. This is me. This is my style right here. As sad as it may be for everybody else, I hope you guys all had a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving. 855-212-4CBS. Again, Bill Bender going to join us at 4:40 p.m. Eastern. I think Patrick Mahomes has to meet LeBron James, and I think I'm going to bring that up coming up in a bit. I actually wanted to defend Mike McCarthy, then yesterday happened. Because I watched the Cowboys, and hearing some of the conversation, we had Mike Sando on. This would have been on the Saturday show. This would have been about a month and a half ago. And I talked to him about Mike McCarthy because I'm thinking, you know, it just seems to be there's something is amiss here. And when he brings up that, as long as Jerry Jones is in charge, they're going to have problems. And other general managers, other team presidents tell him this stuff. It really brings pause. And I wanted to defend Mike McCarthy up until yesterday, because I think that a lot of times where he took this job, and a lot of people take the job because I think the Cowboys are the siren song of the NFL. It's Dallas. They're the Yankees of the NFL. Sorry, Pittsburgh. Sorry, Green Bay. Sorry, New England. They're the Yankees of the NFL. Everything's supposed to be bigger. They throw money at problems. They're able to get out of problems with money. It's just what they do. But it's the same situation. George Steinbrenner, the late George Steinbrenner, would always get his hands involved and make things terrible and make things tough up until the very end, and then they did have some success. But through the most part, made things very difficult on the New York Yankees, on his own ball club. And it's the same thing with Jerry Jones. And when you have a situation where you don't hire head coaches, you hire puppets, you are going to be in trouble with that head coach from day one. The story came out a couple of months ago, almost 2 months ago now, that the players were not responding to Mike McCarthy. They don't trust the decisions that he makes in the game. They don't think that the coaching staff is making enough in-game adjustments to go out there and win. And when you're picked by the organization's owner, you can always throw the coach under the bus. The owner is always going to take the player's side. He picked the players. So you can say whatever you want to about the head coach because it's not going to come back on you. So you can really go out and say anything you want, anonymously, of course, and the owner is always going to put it on the head coach. That's why Jason Garrett was there for so long. He was a very good puppet for Jerry Jones, for the Jones family. Mike McCarthy had a chance to get his respect back. Aaron Rodgers talks trash about him out the door. Takes a year off, comes back, has an opportunity with a bunch of different franchises, and decides to go to Dallas. And it's the organization that the second he walks in the door, he is coach's version of castration. That you cannot run your own football team anymore. Where you have to go back and try to do silly things to try to motivate your team. He doesn't have Dak. Zeke Elliott looks like this is just not his year again. We're going to continue to make excuses for Zeke Elliott. They've had some injuries here and there. They play in a poor division where if they had anything whatsoever, if they had any type of a plan whatsoever, they could probably win that division and go to the playoffs and probably get boat raced in the playoffs, but at least they'd be in the playoffs. Then I saw what happened yesterday. And I'm seeing a desperate guy who's in over his head already, who knows that this isn't going to be a situation that ends well for him, that he is not going to be a head coach for very much longer in the league. Well, unless he decides, if he speaks up for himself, he won't. If he decides that he's going to go through the motions, then he absolutely can be the head coach of Dallas all he wants because people will blame Mike McCarthy. They won't blame Jerry Jones as much. So he can continue to be a punching bag for the owners. But yesterday on a fake punt on 4th and 10, and I'm thinking, did you run out of ideas? Or did you run out of material after your Gallagher jokes last week? Did we not find any more watermelons to smash? Was there not a giant trampoline couch that you could jump up and down on to try to motivate your players this week on Thanksgiving of all days? Did you not try to do some other material? Would you like some Jeff Foxworthy? Would you like some Bill Engvall? Maybe some Dave Chappelle. How about Larry the Cable Guy? Would that have gotten everybody up for Washington? If we're talking about guys who were big in the 80s, how about Andrew Dice Clay? Hell, any of us could go do Andrew Dice Clay. Mike McCarthy can walk right out in front of his team Wednesday night. Hickory dickory dock. I'm going to fake punt on 4th and 10. Oh, Mike, what are you doing? This is your offense. This is what you're doing. I see a desperate man. I see a plea for help. But we can make fun of him all we want. And he signed up for the job. He's playing against a team where if he were in Washington, he would have been given power by that owner who's a desperate man in his own right, power to rename the team, for crying out loud, to remake that team in his image to try to do what's best. And he could run it into the ground. It's not to say that Mike McCarthy is just completely taken away by Jerry Jones. That's not the case. He could always run into the ground. I don't know. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is right. Looks like he is. But on the other sideline, I don't need to hear jokes from Ron Rivera. I'm sure Ron Rivera tries some different motivational tactics with his team. He's not going to do Lenny Bruce before a game. Right there on the other side, all the power that he would want, the possibility of prestige, the possibility to build the offense in your image, the way you want it. They've already moved on from Dwayne Haskins. Now they have a veteran, knowledgeable, respected quarterback playing for them. And it was 20-16, and you lost your mind. It's all tricks. It's all smoke and mirrors. None of it's necessary. None of it makes sense. And it leads to losses. You have a veteran quarterback in your own right. He's not very good anymore. Been pretty washed up now. But I could try to say the same thing for Alex Smith, who basically almost had his leg amputated a couple years ago. I can only find so many excuses before I have to look at you dead at Mike McCarthy and say, you picked the wrong team, and you look really bad for doing it. 855-212-4CBS. We'll try to get to you guys coming up. Bill Bender going to join us, Sporting News National College football writer. He's coming up at 4:40 p.m. Eastern. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later when we might answer your question right here on the show. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll have the great Bill Bender joining us here at around 4:40 p.m. Eastern, 1:40 p.m. Pacific, also at 5 o'clock Eastern. You know, you put the franchise quarterback in danger. You put the league's money in danger. You should pay dearly, but I don't know if I can just hand the Ravens a loss. I'll explain it at 5. And also, Jeff Kerr and I, the hens got the clucking about the Joe Burrow thing, and I feel bad. I feel bad. I just don't know any other way to do it here for the future. I have no idea what other way to do it. That coming up at around 5:40 p.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I actually feel bad for Scott Frost, and I'm going to bring this up with Bill. It's one thing to go home. It's another thing to go home and fail. You're 10-19. I know he had a major thing that he had to redo there. There's a lot of stuff that he had to work on. I feel bad for Scott Frost, and I'm that much more in awe of Tom Osborne. I'm that much more in awe of Tom Osborne and Bob Devaney than I have ever been. I know it's a different era. It's been a long time since Tom Osborne's been the head coach in Nebraska, but you're still in Nebraska. It's still in the middle of the country. And for whatever reason, and there's guys who, Bo Pelini was relatively successful. Frank Solich, before the very end, was relatively successful. Probably that 2001 loss to Colorado probably was the beginning of the end. You had guys who were relatively successful, but because of what Devaney built and because of what Osborne continued and really took to another level, you have an expectation in that state. You have an expectation in Lincoln. And I thought Scott Frost, being from the pedigree from being there and seeing what he had did at UCF, because there's a golden opportunity at a place like UCF. It's a fun town. It's a fun school. It really is. It's a blast every way through. You have a state that is rich with talent, and that if you strike at the right time, you can go and you can poach some of those players who might go to other places. It never seems to balance out where the whole state of Florida is powerful at once, and a team like UCF can benefit from that. And Scott Frost did. And I thought, finally, it's going to make sense. This is going to be a team that 9-10 wins every year. You're aiming for 10 if you're Nebraska. I'm not trying to go back to something that's infeasible with what really Tom Osborne did. I know that's a bygone era. But to see the way they're struggling now, I thought that this was going to work. And I'm not trying to run them out of town so soon, because I think one of the easiest things that radio show hosts do is run guys off their jobs and say, this coach needs to be fired or that coach needs to be fired. But this is as rough as it gets for this guy, and I actually feel bad for him. I know that if he were to be fired at the end of this year or at the end of that next year, he'll get a huge payday, and already he and his family are set for eons and eons and eons. And in this world right now, that says a lot. I get that. But guys like you, women like you, fans like us, you're going to know him for one thing, and no amount of money unless he goes and changes that somewhere else. And he's 45 years old. He's a relatively young man. If he were to get another job somewhere else, if he were to be let go of by Nebraska, that's an if. It's just something the fans seem to want right now. If he were to be let go of by Nebraska, he has that chance, but no amount of money changes you from being a failure. And we've said this about plenty of coaches in the past. There's so many guys who've had life-changing money, and they don't have to work another day in their life. But a guy like Hugh Jackson, for instance, who is 3-36-1 with the Browns, he goes on every single radio show he has a chance to try to revitalize his name. He has more money than God. Because the first thing you think of when you think of Hugh Jackson is failure. The same thing, the first thing you'll think of, if this doesn't work out for Scott Frost, he was a failure at his home school. And I can't imagine what it would be like seeing a relatively likable guy in Scott Frost. Can't imagine what it would be like to go home and fail at home, of all places. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, Bill Bender, Sporting News national college football writer, at BillBender92. We'll chew the fat with him. Big win today for Iowa State. Bad loss today for Tom Herman. What's to come for Texas? And if you look at Twitter, they want Urban and they want him bad. Well, we'll discuss that with Bill Bender coming up next. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio right now. It's the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Folks, whether you're red or owned, Geico, they make it easy to bundle home and car insurance together. You know, having a home, it's hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio in for Tiki and Tierney. Go to the hotline right now. Welcome in one of my favorite guests. Find him on Twitter at BillBender92. We follow each other, so I know his Twitter handle right off the top of my head. That's how good of friends I am with this guy. Find him again on Twitter, BillBender92, Sporting News national college football writer. Bill Bender joins us on the show. Bill, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well. I'm salty that my Bobcats couldn't close the deal in Champaign against Illinois today, but that was a fun basketball game.
Hey, Jeff Bowles is a hell of a coach. That team's going to be winning MAC championships for a long time to come.
You know, that's how it feels. But, you know, I know you brought me in. I'm here to talk football. We just watched Texas Tom Herman lose another close loss. Here's a stat of the day for you. In games decided by 10 points or less under Tom Herman the last 4 years,
yeah,
Texas is 15-15.
Oh, boy. There's just no excuse, Bill. You're in Texas. It's Texas. The school's name is Texas. If he was coaching at Rice, I'd go, oh, well, you know, you got what you got. But it's Texas, buddy. And I saw Ohio State. Now, you and I are both based in the state of Ohio. And people, I always tell people, I'm not an Ohio State fan, man. I went to Akron. I saw Ryan Day and Ohio State over the last week going to get 2 5-star guys from Texas. One was a decommit from Texas. I go, that shouldn't be allowed. That should not be possible to do. That to me tells me, are you not doing enough? Are you not working as hard as you're supposed to as a head coach to be able to get these recruits? Why is it that a school like Ohio State, like an Alabama, like Clemson, is able to go in and take your homegrown children and make them great players for their school and you're not able to?
Not just homegrown children, guys like J.K. Dobbins, Garrett Wilson. I mean, how good is Garrett Wilson?
Yeah.
He's unreal. And, I mean, when you get those kind of impact players out of the state of Texas, and Alabama probably got a couple that they can tell stories about too, it hurts the brand. And, I mean, as far as, like you said, I mean, 15-15 in those 10 points or less games, but you're getting beat by Iowa State and TCU and others in the Big 12. I mean, Iowa State's going to play for a Big 12 championship this year, and that's a credit to Matt Campbell. He is a heck of a football coach, and I would use a stronger adjective if I could. But
you could say hell.
He's
I'll
getting
let you
the most out of his players, and you've got to question whether Herman's doing the same.
All right, real quick on Tom Herman's future. I would assume it's up in the air, right?
I think they'll bring him back. It's always one of those deals, though, you bring him back unless you got the guy lined up behind him, and we've talked about this on your show before. Is this the Urban Meyer play? I don't think so, because I think he's so good in the studio that he doesn't necessarily have to come back unless he's so petty to say, well, here's how it's done, Tom. And he would go there. And within 4 years, Texas would probably be playing for a national championship if Urban Meyer went there.
He's a football coach, man. You know as well as I do, football coaches are very petty individuals. He is very petty. Come on now, you know that, Bill.
All coaches at all levels are very petty at times,
exactly.
And you're exactly right.
If Urban Meyer coached a little league team, I think Urban Meyer would find a way to be petty about it. Bill Bender joining us on the show. I think you're right. I would rather see him at USC, but Clay Helton's starting to do a good job there, so I guess I can't start to yell and scream about Urban Meyer going there. I feel he's L.A. I feel he's Hollywood. I think it makes sense. I think his family would love him being in L.A. Puts him far enough away from Ohio State where he's a national recruiter. He would recruit everywhere, but he could kind of give them their space if he really wanted to. And he could probably rope off California again. But, boy, that Texas, the type of money Texas would pay for Urban Meyer. I know you've already made a boatload, but how do you say no? Because Texas will pay you. That's oil money. They'll pay you anything. They'll pay you anything.
Well, and my one thing with the USC, and this might be an old-timer growing up in Ohio, and I'm an old-timer at 40, but would Urban Meyer take a job at a school where maybe younger generation doesn't understand that rivalry, but if you talk to our parents and our grandparents, they don't speak of USC so fondly.
Yeah.
You know, they'll talk
That's
about
true.
O.J. Simpson in the 70s and Archie Griffin losing football games and those kind of things. I don't know if Urban would take that job, but – the longer he's in a studio with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart kind of ribbing him, you know, and like you said, the setup's out there for him to make a Hollywood comeback, he would do everything Pete Carroll did there and probably more.
I feel bad for Scott Frost. I'm going to get to Matt Campbell here in a second, but I feel bad for Scott Frost, Bill. He's 10-19 right now at Nebraska, and the fans want him out. I don't think they should let him go. It's not been that long, but – is it going to get better? And now I don't think he's handling this quarterback situation very well whatsoever. It's going to have to get better soon. I don't want to see a guy who is Nebraska's favorite son, one of their favorite sons, go back there and be a failure, is what I'm saying here.
That's like Jim Harbaugh, but worse. It really is. I mean, Harbaugh.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh wins games. Yeah. I mean,
Jim Harbaugh had
this year.
After 3 years, Jim Harbaugh had a couple 10-win seasons under his belt at Ann Arbor. And
yes, he did.
You know, a spot away from maybe playing for a Big Ten championship. No, Nebraska's nowhere near that. They're not on the level of an Iowa or a Wisconsin, or I can't believe I'm saying this, Ken. They're probably not on Northwestern's level right now. Northwestern's going to make a second Big Ten championship appearance in 3 years. So it's a tough job. It's a tough job with a tough program in a conference where it became very clear during the COVID-19 cancellations that maybe the Big Ten isn't the best fit for Nebraska. And to get back to the level that they expect, if you had to flip a coin, say you could do it between the Big Ten and the Big 12,
yeah,
the answer is probably the Big 12.
Bill Bender joining us, Sporting News, national college football writer. I think you're right. What's the future hold for Matt Campbell? Because you're 7-2. You'll probably play for the Big Ten championship game or Big 12 championship game, like you said. I don't know if you'll win it, but you'll play for it. And a lot of people keep drawing the comparison to Michigan, and I'm thinking, you know, Jim Harbaugh's got to go first. Could it be a situation where maybe Michigan has to make a decision now? Because it very well, I think that this is you know what or get off the pot time. As much as I like the program he's put together at Iowa State, it's going, man, this is the perfect time now. Yeah, your team's really, really good. It's gotten a lot of attention. NFL teams are starting to beat around the bush here, and you're looking at Michigan going, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to let Jim Harbaugh go, or what are you going to do? Because he might go somewhere else, and then if you don't get him, you don't get him.
All of these things line up, and the next 3 weeks will be very telling. If Michigan goes out tomorrow and lays an egg against a winless Penn State team, that's going to amp up to your Texas, you know, what we just talked about with Texas. Michigan fans shouldn't be staying up into the early hours of the morning sweating out a Rutgers game, right?
Yep.
For triple overtime and hoping that a Rutgers kicker misses a field goal. The two candidates that would make the most sense for Michigan are Matt Campbell and Luke Fickell. Matt Campbell's going to be at max value here in about 2 weeks. Fickell's probably at max value now, but I think there's going to be enough steady success at Cincinnati that they're not going anywhere. And I've always thought, I mean, this is pure speculation. I think if Luke Fickell had a dream destination for his next job, I still think it's Notre Dame if Brian Kelly ever left. And that's just my personal opinion. I would see him as the coach at Notre Dame before I would see him as the coach at Michigan.
I think you're right about that. Bill Bender joining us on the show. Not that you need my saying you're right or anything like that. I know you know more about college football than a lot of people out there, including myself, but I'm just saying I totally agree with you on this. And when it comes to – see, this is where I kind of go with the reverse Barry Switzer here. You remember Lincoln Riley was brought up, and Barry Switzer was on a couple of different radio stations, including my own in Cleveland, and he brought it up, and I thought it was a salient point going, if you were to go to the NFL and you failed, are you going to get a job as good as Oklahoma? right out of the bat. No, you wouldn't. But if Matt Campbell were to go to the NFL, if he were going to go to Atlanta, if he were going to go to Houston, which that is a – with Sean Watson, that's an interesting spot. If he were to go to the Chargers, if Anthony Lynn were to be hung up on at the end of this year, then I think that you would have a situation where even if you failed, you'd probably get a college job better than Iowa State is naturally. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems to be the right time.
Yeah, I mean, Harbaugh – then Jim Harbaugh, if he goes to the NFL, what are you going to do? Lions, Jets, wherever? I think if he came back to the college game, he could get a job on par with where he started in, you know, Stanford. Because I think that's one of the places of all the things that we nitpick about Harbaugh and how he's done at Michigan. It was a long time ago, but he did a pretty darn good job at Stanford. They were a one-win program when he got there.
It's true.
And Andrew, he owes a lot of that to Andrew Luck, probably, but, you know, Andrew Luck was there. So it's one of the most confusing things about his tenure at Michigan, quite honestly. But Campbell and Fickell, Fickell's next move is college to me. Campbell's going to have an interesting decision here in 3 weeks. And if Michigan loses to Penn State and loses badly to Ohio State, obviously there's been some developments with the Buckeyes today, those questions are going to have to be asked in some sort of form.
Speaking of Ohio State, with Ryan Day out, is there any possibility of an upset? Larry Johnson, I believe, is going to be the acting head coach. Is that correct?
Yeah. That is correct.
Any chance, or are we just overthinking it here?
Man, ESPN Classic had some Illinois-Ohio State games, and I miss those old Illinois uniforms with the Illinois across the helmet. Those
were
kind of cool.
Those are the best. Those are the best. And you can't forget Juice Williams, friend. No, unforgettable, I mean, that night.
Yeah, I mean, I miss those uniforms, but I don't think it'll matter that neither Nick Saban nor Ryan Day will be on a sideline tomorrow, because I think the Buckeyes will take care of business. I think Crimson Tide will take care of business. The only nitpick I had from the rankings over Tuesday is I'm not quite sure why the committee would put Clemson over Ohio State, but that will work itself out. What's not going to work itself out for the committee is there's going to be more undefeated teams at the end of this road than they're going to want. And I'm talking about, you know, the Cincy's, the BYU's, those kind of teams.
I think BYU, by the way, has to play a Pac-12 opponent if they went in. I think the whole pandemic thing, you always go back to what makes you money. When we look at the blue bloods in college football, I think they want to use any excuse they can to get these blue bloods in there, and I think that that leaves BYU out.
They will. Now, Cincinnati, they probably want, like, I don't know if you've got it on in the studio or whatever, but Notre Dame, North Carolina is fun right now. I think
I'm
this is a four-quarter game.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if the Irish are going to lose this one, but I'm – just based on what I've watched through two quarters, this is going to be fun in the fourth quarter.
Mac Brown's always got him up against these teams, man. How old is Mac Brown, 137?
You know, he's one of the truly good guys in the business. I like seeing him have the success he's had at North Carolina, and he's done it pretty quickly. They still have a ways to go before they can do this every week, but
yeah.
You've seen him play up against Clemson. You're seeing him play up right now. Got first-round quarterback, and anytime you got one of them, you're going to have a chance.
If he got this program back to a certain level, like to the bottom, totally dropped out on Larry Fedora, but if he got that program back to a certain level, what type of a period would that be to the end of his career? Wouldn't that be amazing?
I love it. I mean, and you look at it, it's kind of like his first stint at North Carolina. I always remind people, at the end of that first one, guys like Dre Bly and Vonnie Holiday and a bunch of 10-year NFL dudes played in the Chapel Hill, and he's bringing that back. I mean, Julius Peppers, Ronald – people that our age remember, Ronald Curry was like the biggest deal coming out of high school, and
yes,
they got him to go to North Carolina.
Yes, they did, which everybody thought, well, what did you give him to go to North Carolina? But that's a different conversation, Bill. Hey, Bill, real quick, has Alabama-Auburn overtaken Ohio State-Michigan as the best college football rivalry?
For now, I think it's more meaningful because it has more to do with the college football playoff and national championship picture, and until Michigan offers some sort of legitimate response to what Ohio State has done since Jim Tressel's got there, it's probably going to stay that way. Man, I made it through that without even stuttering. That was easy.
No, you didn't. No, yeah, I mean, that was amazing, isn't it? I can't believe you just right off the top. Because when I always rank them, I always go, okay, you know, Army, Navy, they're in a different category. I put them in a special category beyond any of them. But you know what? You can say what you want to about Auburn, but they win that thing every now and then. Michigan hasn't won in how long? And I don't consider them to be a real factor in it this year, do I?
they haven't won since Brady Hoke and Luke Fickell were on the sideline.
It's
amazing. So, I don't think you can – you got to have a response every once in a while. Auburn's had a couple in there with Gus. They're going to get beat pretty handily tomorrow, but it's in Tuscaloosa, so that's just the way it is.
What's the game I should be paying attention to other than that game tomorrow?
You know, the schedule isn't great. You know, I'm going to watch Oregon tonight. All the good ones are today. Like, I'm more locked in today than I'm going to be tomorrow. So I think tomorrow you're just looking for games that can upset the order of the playoff, and I just don't see one out there. All the good ones got canceled.
Yeah, that part is tough there. Is there any chance, real quick, is there any chance that they could extend the college football playoff because of this? Could we get 8 teams?
I doubt it, just because they're so resolute on going 4 and getting this in. And you're starting to see it with the NFL. I know we didn't talk much NFL, but the NFL is going to have some schedule cramps here the last 6 weeks. And I think the college football playoff is trying to avoid that at all costs.
I think you're right about that. Bill Bender, find him on Twitter, at BillBender92. Always a pleasure, Bill. I love you. The best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Love you too. Love Fest on the radio. I'll talk to you soon, Ken. Take care. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Listen there, America. He said it back. Bill Bender, Sporting News national college football writer. He said it back. He was willing to say it back. We got a Love Fest going on. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. God, I'd love Urban Meyer to go anywhere. I always thought there's got to be another chance to see him coach again. He's still far too young. I thought USC might make a ton of sense. It does seem, as time has gone on, that I thought right after that situation with Ohio State, I thought he'd be very hot, very angry, wanting to get back in the business. It seems to have cooled considerably, and that he's on really good terms with them. So maybe he stays away, but I still think a competitive person wants those juices to fire one more time. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, you put the franchise QB in danger. You put the league's money in danger. You should pay dearly, but I don't know if you can just hand the Ravens a loss. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.